Again, these are 21 verses, which correspond, they represent 21 different prostrations or bow down to Tara, who is an enlightened woman. And normally in the monastery we repeat it 21 times at about this speed. You know, then they go like that for 21 times. And everyone thinks about what's for dinner or something. They never explain it to you, so I thought it'd be nice to get an explanation. And then, of course, there are 21 famous forms of Tara. In this prayer, or this is called a stotra or a tapa, there'll be 21, they prostrate 21 times to 21 dhammas, with 21 prostrations and 21 verses, okay? So it'll be something like that. Each verse is a separate description of one of Dhruma's great qualities, okay? And there's a structure to it. By the way, I got the original this morning by fax, okay? We found it. It's 2,500 years old. And some of the readings, as I suspected last night, are different. The one end of the first line, okay, where it says Palmo in the first verse, it is Palmo. Okay, Palmo means Lady of Glory if you look in the translation. Palmo means Lady of War. Okay, war on your negative qualities. All right, so, Palmo. So you'll see it, you'll see after 2,500 years some words get changed, okay? But we found the original. I think there's one more I'm going to check tonight, or between classes, okay? But that would mean Lady of War against the mental afflictions or against your negative qualities, okay? I wanted to give you a little comment on the structure of the whole thing, okay? The very first line there, which is the prostration, where it says, I bow down to Tara, holy, the very first line on the top. That's called Dorten. Dorten means, that's a wrap-up of the whole thing. If you had to put the 21 verses into one line, it would be that, okay? These are 21 verses of bowing down to Tara, okay? Then the rest of the 21 verses are about her holy qualities, her sacred qualities, okay? Again, this is not an initiation. I think initiation should be passed down quietly from teacher to student after they've known each other intimately. And so I'm not, this is not an initiation. I'm giving you a vehicle, which is the core of a practice by which people over the centuries have reached Tara. And as yesterday we said, reach means meet her face to face, and then secondly, become her. Okay, in Tibetan or in Buddhism, that's what reach means. So I would suggest if you're into Tara, if Tara is attractive to you, and different people have different yidam. Yidam means the one angel that you're attracted to. It could be Yamantaka. It could be Vajrayogini, you know. It could be Tara, you know. It depends on your own, it depends on your own heart. So if you're attracted to Tara, practice, then the custom is to recite it at least 21 times a day, okay? And then think about her, and treat it as a request. You see, when you praise her, you're calling on her, and you're saying, "Please, help me bump into a qualified lama who can give me the initiation, who can give me the mantras, who can teach me the practices, which are extensive." Okay, I mean, when you really get into a tantric practice, it takes years to master it. Okay, and may I meet such a master? May I run into such a master? And you can use it for that, okay? It's like calling her to come help you, okay? And that's a great way to start, right? And that's what these are. These are very famous in the monasteries. Every time we do any ritual on a major holiday, twice a month, we always do this one, okay? So it's very deep. The first verse there is what we call Geshe. Geshe means here starts the explanation of her holy qualities in more detail. The Geshe will have several parts. The first part is that we are going to praise her through describing how she came to be. And that's the first verse. The first verse is a reference to an old story about the god of compassion, Avalokiteshvara, who is nowadays His Holiness, okay? A tear dropping from his eye, dropping on the ground, a sacred lotus growing there, and then Tara coming out of the middle of the lotus. Okay, so that's the very first verse is a story about that, reflects the story. Second verse represents the beginning of the praise of Tara through describing her body, okay, her bodily qualities. And I think we talked yesterday, she's got two different bodies, as do all enlightened beings, okay? One is the body that she has in her own paradise, okay? The other is the body she sends out to help people, okay? The main body is the physical body is the one in her paradise, and then she sends out other bodies to help other people. We talked about it yesterday, okay? And I'll continue to refer to the pen thing. If you weren't here last night, the pen thing is this. It's an explanation, it's a way to understand emptiness. Okay, very simply, when I hold this thing up and ask you what it is, you think and you say pen. There's two things going on in your mind. The word pen, you hear the word pen, and then you have a picture in your mind that we call pen. When I say pen, you always have the same picture in your mind. It's a perfect pen in your mind, okay? It's some kind of, it's too perfect actually. You can never see that in real life, okay? When I say pen, and when you look at a pen, what you're really looking at is a picture in your own mind, in a sense, okay? And you have to get used to that. That's a perfect pen. It's the idealization of pen. Jungian, like, archetype or something of pen, okay? And you see pen. And you see a whole pen. In reality, it's impossible to see a whole pen, okay? Why? A pen that you see in your mind can't exist in reality. Why? You can't see the pen without looking at the bottom of the pen. By that time, you lost the top of the pen, okay? By the time you look, that's why the human eye goes like this all the time, okay? I mean, perceptually, you know, you can't see a whole pen. You have to be looking at the top in order to confirm it's there, and then you glance down at the bottom to confirm it's there, and you already lost the top, you see what I mean? And you can't look at the whole pen without looking at the top or the bottom. What you're doing is impossible, okay? But still, you see a whole pen, don't you? You're looking at a mental image of a pen, okay, all the time. Okay, every time you think you're seeing pen, you're seeing your own idealization of a pen. Okay, I'm not trying to figure out about it, okay, it doesn't matter. The point is that all there is really here is a cylinder. To the dog, if I stuck this to the dog, they would start to chew on it. To them, they automatically think of the cylinder as something to chew on. A human automatically thinks of the cylinder as something to write with, if you know what it's for, okay? And you have automatically that perception. If I say, close your eyes and think of this thing as something to chew on, I mean, you can imagine it as the way a dog maybe thinks about it, but you don't have that instinctive attraction to chew on it. You see what I mean? Like a dog would. You see what I mean? That's the difference between a human and a dog. In fact, in Buddhism, that's what makes you a human. And that's what makes you a dog. If you walk in this room and have an uncontrollable urge to chew on this and slobber, you is a dog. You see what I mean? No kidding. Not kidding. And if you walk into this room and have an urge to write with it, you're already a human. You see what I mean? We say there's no human or dog separate from those perceptions. You got to get used to that. It's not that you're seeing it as a pen because you're a human. You're a human because you see it as a pen. And that's what a human is. And if there ever came a day when your mind changed and you started to see something to chew on, you would also look down and see a paw. And I'm not kidding. That's what dogs are. Okay? That's why humans can become dogs after the death process. But you got to get, that's a long story. I'm not talking about that today. What I want to say is that we say that those perceptions that you impose on this cylinder are dictated by your past deeds. If you've been kind to other people, if you've been considerate to other people, if you've given other people writing instruments or helped them write things, you will perceive this as a pen. If you've been unkind to other people, unthoughtful, you will perceive this as something to chew on. If you go one whole level higher, and if in this lifetime you are able to practice compassion and wisdom perfectly, before you die, you will see this as the holy staff of Tara, and you would see me as Tara. You see what I mean? And yourself as Tara. Because it's empty, okay? It's just a cylinder. It's just shape and color. You know, how you see it depends on your mindset, okay? And that mindset is solely determined by how you've been to other people, other living things, okay? That's Buddhism in a nutshell. Karma over here, emptiness over here. They like are always combining on any single object, okay? Which is, we say, how do you know if someone's describing your emptiness properly or correctly? They should be talking about karma in the next breath, okay? Emptiness is the fact that this is just a cylinder. Karma is what makes it return. The karma in your mind, the past deeds in your mind, force you to interpret this colors and shapes as a pen. Okay, that's all. That's Buddhism in a nutshell. Karma is the projector. Emptiness is the screen. Okay, and there is no other object. There is no pen. We're dependent of those two things. Okay, you got to use that. This is just a plain old innocent bystander cylinder. And your mind is forcing you to see a pen. Does that mean you can just decide that it's going to be a bar of gold this evening, right? It's not voluntary. Okay, it's almost, it's instinctual. Your karma is forcing you to see it with a pen. You don't have a choice to see it with anything else, okay? Unless you go gardening. Gardening means incredible good deeds, incredible virtues, incredible generosity to other people. And then 6 months, 8 months, you start to see this thing as something different, something higher, okay? The karma doesn't work in the present tense. Karma works normally. You plant it through the way. It's just like flowers. You plant it through the way, and then 6 months from now, 8 months from now, you get some result, okay? That's the whole thing. That's the whole point of what we're talking about. You got to understand emptiness to understand how you can do karma. This cylinder and this cylinder work the same. Okay? They're just cylinders. What you see is you see a human arm or a dog or a Tara's arm with white light only depends on how good your gardening is. You know? If you undertake serious, well-trained, talented practices, which are very thorough in morality and virtue towards other beings and compassion towards other beings, then you will be forced to see this with Tara's command. Okay, that's the rule. Very good how to do it. Now we'll go over this. Okay. There's nothing more to that. You know what I mean? If you're really intelligent about what you say, it will teach me that the vows. What is the time to vow? How do I keep them? And then you just keep them. And then I honestly think change. Okay? Things changes. Emotional things, relationships, financial situation, place you live, the environment around you, everything, your body, your health, everything starts to change, okay? Because everything is driven by your perception. And if you keep a sacred code of life, those perceptions are changed. Okay, that's how the world changes. That's how you get to heaven, actually. That's how you get to tantric paradise, okay? That's how you produce one. The practice of Buddhism is the science of producing your tantric paradise. Okay. We finished the second verse. That's where they start to describe where did we get this, her body and her paradigm. Okay. Now, in general, this praise in 21 verses is going to go through her nice body aspect and her cute butt aspect. Okay. Like there's a peaceful Tara and there's a violent Tara. Okay? We're going to go through the peaceful one. As I said last night, don't get worried about the one. She's violent. Why? That's how compassion looks to selfishness. Okay? It's just the way your mind is going to look to your jealousy 5 minutes before it, your wisdom erases your jealousy. Okay? To jealousy that's about to be erased from a human mind after having been there for millions of lifetimes. Compassion, wisdom, that looks very bad. That's a, you know, like the picture in the barn. Okay, that's why they're up in flame and they got these big fangs and they're going to rip the heart out of whom? Your jealousy, your anger, your desire. That's how compassion looks to a negative state of mind. And when they see compassion walking towards them, they're like scared. They don't want to be there anymore. Okay, and they put up a good fight. You'll find if you spiritually try to practice Buddhism, all your mental problems get worse for a while. Okay, they're putting up their death fight. And the review, 5 minutes after a holy teaching, you're wandering with the Dharma student. Okay? Typical. Okay? They feel them coming. They don't. And they are spirit themselves. Okay? It's the typical problem. Okay. So verse number 2 is the first of 6 that describe her parental responsibility. Okay, verse number 2 describes. It's called the story of the where is